Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 16th para was recited, which is the completion of Suratul Kahf, followed by Surah Maryam, and then followed by Surah Taha. In Suratul Kahf, as was probably mentioned yesterday, there are three main incidents and stories have been mentioned. One had already been mentioned, the people of the cave. The second incident is that of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam and their encounters. And the 16th para, the beginning of it is actually the completion of that incident. And the third story is that of Dhul-Qarnayn. Musa alayhi salam, one of the people of Bani Israel, once asked him that, is there anyone more knowledgeable than you on the surface of the earth? Musa alayhi salam replied that, no, there is no one else more knowledgeable than me on the surface of the earth. And in a way, Musa alayhi salam's answer was correct, because the Nabi of the time has the most knowledge from amongst all the people of the world at that time. Anyway, this answer was not appropriate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it was more appropriate that he leaves that knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says Allah knows best. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam that there is a person on the surface of the earth who has more knowledge than you, such knowledge which you are not unaware of, and go and meet this person, who was Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam. Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala had blessed him with what we call the ilme takwini, the knowledge of takwin, and that knowledge relates or it concerns the realm of the creation of Allah ta'ala in relation to the management of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom behind the laws which are enforced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his creation. We all know that what we see outwardly, externally, is what we see, and the laws of Shariat apply to those things. The Nabi Musa alayhi salam was blessed with the knowledge of Shariat, ilm Shariat. But behind the veils of the external, there is much wisdom and truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, which we are unaware of. And even the Nabi is not blessed with such knowledge, and besides what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs him about. But that knowledge is called ilm takwin, which Khadir alayhi salam was blessed with, and Musa alayhi salam was not given that knowledge. Musa alayhi salam was given the knowledge of Shariat, ilm tashri'i. Anyway, Musa alayhi salam then meets with Khadir alayhi salam according to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he requests to stay in his company and follow him so that he can learn from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. But Khadir alayhi salam mentioned to him that, you'll never be able to now bear with me, to make sabr with me, and how can you make sabr on those things which your knowledge does not encompass? But Musa alayhi salam assured him that, inshaAllah, if Allah ta'ala wills, I will remain patient and I will not disobey any of your commands. And thereafter, he is allowed to stay with Khadir alayhi salam. Both of them travel, they board a ship, and Khadir alayhi salam, he damages that ship by dislodging one of the planks of that ship, and immediately Musa alayhi salam objects, since Musa alayhi salam had knowledge of ilm tashri'i, and he said that, are you damaging the ship to now drown the people of the ship? Verily, you have did something which is not appropriate. But Khadir alayhi salam reminded him, did I not tell you, you will not be able to bear with me and make sabr with me? But Musa alayhi salam excused himself and said, don't take me to task for what I had forgiven, and don't force upon me a difficult condition. Anyway, they carry on further, and then they meet up with a youngster, and Khadir alayhi salam kills that youngster. And immediately Musa alayhi salam again objects, have you taken the life of a person, a masoom child, a sinless child, who not in retaliation for him having taken the life of anyone else? Verily, you have did something which is a very serious thing, very wrong thing. But again, Khadir alayhi salam told him, you'll never be able to bear with me. And then Musa alayhi salam himself said that, after this, if I ask you and object about anything, then don't keep me with you in your company. you have reached the point of excuse from my side if now you tell me now to leave your company. Anyway, then they carry on, and then they come to a town, and the people of the town refuse to host them. But Musa, Khadir alayhi salam, seen that one wall was on the verge of collapse, and he then straightened it and fixed it up. Musa alayhi salam again commented that if you wanted, you could have taken a fee in exchange for doing this favor to this people, these people. They don't even want to host us, and you're doing this favor for them. You could have charged them something. And that Khadir alayhi salam then said, this is a point of separation between myself and you. Now I will inform you of the interpretation and the reason for what I had did and on which you could not make sabr. Then Khadir alayhi salam then informs him of all what had transpired, that that ship which I had damaged belonged to some poor people. It was their livelihood to earn from that ship by carrying passengers, and I had damaged it because further on there was a king who used to seize oppressively every type of ship which was in its good condition. I damaged it and in such a way very easily they could repay it, but at least it would be saved from the oppression of that king, and the livelihood of these poor people will continue. With regards to that child, the parents of that child were righteous and they were mu'mineen, and there was fear that this child who was destined to remain a kafir, and he will grow up, he will exploit the love of his parents in such a way that it was possible that he subdues his parents onto transgression and kufr. For that reason, I took his life with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in exchange of that child, Allah ta'ala wished to bless these parents with a better child who was more pure and more who was more loving and more affectionate. And with regards to that wall which I had straightened, it belonged to two orphan children in the town, and their father had buried a treasure for them beneath that wall, and if that wall had to collapse, then that treasure would have been exposed, with the result that the people would have then taken that inheritance of the orphan children. They would have now usurped it, and with the result that the children would have been at a great loss. So further on he mentions, whatever I did not do it from my own side. This was from the with the hukam and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the interpretation of those incidents on which you could not make sabr. Thereafter, the incident of Dhul Qarnain is mentioned. Dhul Qarnain, many claim that he was whom history remembers as Alexander the Great, whose advisor was Aristotle. But the ulama say this is a completely incorrect view, because Alexander the Great was a Greek, he was a mushrik, whereas the Dhul Qarnain mentioned in the Quran Majid in these ayat was a just mu'min, and he was a Muslim ruler and not a mushrik in any way. So that is a completely wrong view which some people maintain, that Dhul Qarnain was Alexander the Great. Anyway, he was a just and pious ruler, and he ruled the world of that time from the east to the west. His conquests and travels to the east and west are mentioned here. And then he undertook a third journey where he reached a people who used to reside between two mountains, and he built an iron wall for them to save them from the mischief and evil of a nation by the name of Ya'juj Ma'juj, which in English they call them the Gog Magog, and to save them from their tyranny and their evil. Dhul Qarnain built an iron wall for these people. This is mentioned in this incident here, in the second ruku of this para. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last ruku of the surah, Allah ta'ala mentions, هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ عَمَالًا. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, should we not inform you of those who are the greatest losers with regards to their actions? Who are they? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those whose efforts have gone to waste with regard to what they did in the dunya, whereas they think they had been doing all along good actions. In other words, either because of lack of iman, whatever good actions they had did, expecting rewards by Allah Ta'ala, that will now be completely, it will result in zero for them. There will be no reward whatsoever for such people. Or either, if they had iman, but they lacked sincerity and ikhlas, with the result that those actions will have no value for them in the year after. And in the last verse of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that those who have hope and have conviction in meeting with Allah Ta'ala, they do good actions. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And they don't ascribe anybody as partners to Allah Ta'ala in His worship. The Mufassirin mentioned that shirk in this last verse here refers to shirk-e khafi. Shirk-e khafi refers to doing things to show other people. Not, in other words, without sincerity, not solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is called shirk-e khafi, which is called riya, and to do actions for show. A person should not do anything for show, to show and impress others, or else by Allah ta'ala, that person will have no reward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that a person daily, he should now read this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa ana astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. And three times in the morning and evening, and inshallah he will then be saved from this calamity of riya and doing things to show others. The next surah is Surah Maryam. Surah Maryam is a Makki surah, and because the incident of Maryam radiallahu anha has been mentioned, the surah has been called Surah Maryam. And as is the case with the Makki surahs, the fundamentals of deen are mentioned. Many proofs of the people of shirk have been refuted in the surah, as well as the incidents of many Anbiya alayhimu salam have been mentioned, beginning with the story of Zakariya alayhi salam, which was mentioned in the third para already. Despite his old age, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my bones have gone weak, my hair has turned white, and I've never been unsuccessful, O Allah Ta'ala, when making dua to you. You always accepted my dua, and I'm asking that I must be granted a child who will be an heir to me, who will then continue with the work of deen and propagation of deen. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua despite his advanced age. Many Mufassirin say he was already 120 years old. And his wife also was old and barren, never gave birth to any children. She was about 90 years already. But Allah Ta'ala then blessed them with a child, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. Thereafter, the incident of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha is mentioned, and her giving birth miraculously to her son Isa alayhi salam without the agency of a father, and to prove his miraculous birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him speak in infancy when normally no children will ever speak any sense. At that time he spoke, and in those words which he mentioned are mentioned in these verses here, he proclaims the chastity of his mother as well as him being Abdullah, that he is the servant of Allah Ta'ala, and not as the Christian claim that he is the son of Allah Ta'ala. All that has been mentioned here. Thereafter, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, how he propagated the message of Tawheed to his father particularly and to his nation, and how he remained respectful to his father, although his father refused to accept the message of Tawheed and even threatened him that if you continue telling me about Tawheed, I will la'arjumannaka, I will stone you, and just leave me alone. But then Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the permission of Allah Ta'ala, then emigrates from there, his homeland, which was in Iraq, to Makkatul Mukarramah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That incident is also mentioned here, and also indication is also made to the other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. Allah Ta'ala mentions that all these Anbiya alayhimu salam were such that Allah had favored them, who are amongst the Anbiya alayhimu salam, from the progeny of Adam alayhi salam. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that there will be people on the day of Qiyamah who will be then raised in a blind state, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will say that, why have you raised us in a blind state, and whereas we were sighted, It actually comes in the next surah. But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that because you are just obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why Allah ta'ala raised you in such a way. Towards the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala mentions that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. Those who bring iman and do good actions, Allah will place love for them. Those who are righteous and upright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares this love for them to first of all Jibreel alayhi salam, who then informs the angels that Allah ta'ala loves so and so person and everybody should love him, and then in turn the people of the world, in them there is placed the love of this person, and everybody then starts loving this person. This is for those people who now are upright and pious and who bring iman. Towards the end, right in the last ayat, Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the disbelievers, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them, and you don't see any of them around, and you don't even hear a murmur about them. In other words, the way Allah Ta'ala destroyed those nations, that there is no sight and no trace of them left anymore. The next surah is Surah Taha, also a Makki surah. Allah Ta'ala mentions, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have not revealed the Qur'an Majeed to you to put you into difficulty. The reason why we had revealed the Qur'an is a reminder and advice for those who have the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The Qur'an Majeed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, they used to exert themselves to such an extent, reading the Qur'an Majeed, particularly at night in Tahajjud, that their feet used to swell and they used to then undergo great difficulty. Allah Ta'ala mentions that we have not revealed the Qur'an to you so that you fall into such great difficulty. Thereafter, the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his encounters with Fir'aun and also with his own people, the Bani Israel, is mentioned in great detail. Compared to all the other Anbiya alayhi salam, the incident of Musa alayhi salam is mentioned in much more extensive detail throughout the Qur'an Majeed. Certain aspects of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's time, here the incident mentioned is that when he was returning from Madian, and he went to Madian to escape from Egypt, when, and that incident is also mentioned later, that Musa alayhi salam, then when he punched a person of the Fir'aun, people of Fir'aun, the Copts, and he, not the Copts, what we know, the Copts, Copts with the T at the end, but was the nation of Musa alayhi of Fir'aun, and in other words, who was quarreling was a person of the people of Musa alayhi salam from the Bani Israel. But that proved fatal, and that person died, and there was an uproar, and the ministers eventually then decided that he must be killed, Musa alayhi salam must be killed because of that. And to save and protect his life, Musa alayhi salam then left Egypt and went to Madian. There he met up with Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salam, married one of his daughters also, stayed for 8 to 10 years in the company of Shu'aib alayhi salam, and then he was returning from Madian back to Egypt with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then on the way, he lost his way. It was very cold. He needed some warmth. And from a distance, he seen a fire and he went there. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spoke to him and granted him nabuwat. And then he was granted nabuwat. And then he came to Egypt, and Allah Ta'ala then told him that you should now go to Fir'aun and preach the message of Haqq to Fir'aun. And Musa alayhi salam requested that my brother Harun alayhi salam must also be given nabuwat, and he joined up with me and he will assist me also in this mission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua, and Harun alayhi salam was also blessed with nabuwat and with Musa alayhi salam. Then they went to Fir'aun. Allah ta'ala told them, when you go to Fir'aun, speak to him in a very kind and soft way, which means no matter how great a tyrant and zalim a person might be, but when propagating the message of deen, it should be done in an appropriate and kind and compassionate manner. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the birth of Musa alayhi salam. At that time, one of his fortune tellers had told him that a child from the Bani Israel will be born, on whose hands your whole empire will be destroyed. So he ordered that every child of the Bani Israel, male child, a boy, should be immediately put to death upon birth. For fear of that, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, when she gave birth to Musa alayhi salam, to save him, she put him into a box and put him into the River Nile with the intention that he will perhaps be now saved from the tyranny of Fir'aun. It happened so, Allah Ta'ala's will, that that box then drifted on the surface of the waters of the Nile, and the palace of Fir'aun was there on the banks of the river, and he and his wife were relaxing on the balcony, and they seen that box drifting, and immediately they ordered that it should be retrieved, and they found that there's a small child here in here, and the love of that child immediately came into the heart of the wife of Fir'aun, and she said that we should keep this child as our own child and adopt this child. Fir'aun was initially skeptical that perhaps this is that very child on whose hands my empire will be destroyed. But on the insistence of his wife, he acceded, and they now kept Musa alayhi salam with them, adopted him, and he grew up in the palace of Fir'aun. And when he grew up, and then that incident happened where he punched that person of the nation of Fir'aun, who was killed, and he had to flee from Egypt, and then he went to Midian. So that incident in detail is also mentioned here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning Musa alayhi salam, then he was ordered then that he should take the Bani Israel away out of Egypt and take them to their back to their homeland of Sham, and they overnight they leave Egypt. And in front of them is the River Nile, behind them Fir'aun, who had got news of this, and he pursued them with his army, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then miraculously opened the waters of the Nile and of the Red Sea, and then they crossed into Sham, and they were saved, and Fir'aun and his army pursued them, and then they were drowned. That whole incident is mentioned here. Thereafter, the people of Musa alayhi salam, they asked for a code of law, and Musa alayhi salam then, on the orders of Allah Ta'ala, went to collect the Torah, and in his absence, his nation fell into the worship of the calf. And how Musa alayhi salam came back, he was angry, and Harun alayhi salam was kept as his vicegerent in his absence, and then he got crossed with his brother, but Harun alayhi salam told him that I had told them about this which is wrong, but they refused to accept. That incident is also mentioned here. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning some scenes of the day of Qiyamah, what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, the incident of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and Shaitan's refusal to make sajda to him, although Allah Ta'ala's order was there. That incident, which had been mentioned quite a few times already, again it has been mentioned, and then that ayat which had been referred to, that that person who turns away from Allah's remembrance, Allah Ta'ala will make the life of that person very constrained, and Allah will then resurrect him in a blind state, and then he will say, Why have I been raised up as a blind person, whereas I was basir, I was sighted? Then it will be told to him, our verses came to you and you forgot, and today we will also forget you, and our mercy will not be with you. That's why you have been raised in this condition. And then the para then is completed. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't stretch your eyes to the luxuries which we have given these many types of kuffar, of the glitter and glamour of the dunya, لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ, and we gave it to them to test them. So the wealth and riches and glitter and glamour of the things of the dunya doesn't mean a person is accepted in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. It is actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see whether a person now uses these bounties in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is he in a form of ingratitude, disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that order your family members about salat, and you yourself remain steadfast on salat. The importance of now seeing to it that your own family also is obedient to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, particularly salat, is mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala says, we don't ask you for any risk and sustenance. We provide you with sustenance, and the end result will be the good end result for the people of taqwa. And on that, the surah concludes. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.